So hi everybody, this is Bala Ramadurai. I'm an innovation facilitator at Mindtree. I'm a TRIZ practitioner. We have two other people on the call who will introduce themselves.
Hey, hi, this is Shankar here. So I'm in a similar role. I facilitate innovations at Honeywell with a primary focus on emerging markets. So a lot of stuff I do is to understand some of those unmet needs in these markets and work with the technology team to develop innovative solutions towards this. I've been practicing TRIZ for a few years now, so I look forward to this discussion very much.
Hello, my name is Murali. I am a TRIZ practitioner as well for the last 4 years, and I've been having experience in applying TRIZ in multiple different industries across the customers Mindtree works within the IT sector.
So this is going to be a podcast series on TRIZ tools and how they apply in various domains. We thought this is the easiest and quickest way to get that going. So in that series, we'll start with what Al Schuler, who's the father of TRIZ, describes it as a rather strange way to approach problem solving. It's called ideal final result. We were thinking about, people also talk about this value addition. It's rather loosely used as much as innovation itself. Now, can there be a linkage? We sort of think there is a linkage. So we will sort of discuss about ideal final result and this value addition. Shankar, I'll start with you. What has been your experience with ideal final result in your TRIZ experience and otherwise?
Hey, no doubt, this is one of the most powerful tools. Actually, if you understand IFR well, then it's much, much easier to understand and appreciate the rest of TRIZ. It takes hardly a minute to explain what IFR is all about and run through an example with a bunch of people. But what has really been challenging, at least for me, is to really get people into that mode of thinking. Because people always are used to thinking under constraints, like a variety of technology constraints, cost, a whole bunch of constraints. But moment you say that this is a kind of implementation-free, pure visualization exercise, just try to kind of visualize what would be the ideal solution like, which is all benefits and no harmful stuff and things like that. People can understand what we are asking them to do, but they find it really difficult to get into that mode of thinking. They again and again come back to the constraints and kind of find it very difficult to move away from that. So this is one challenge that I've been facing, and I've been trying to address this through using a few other tools before really coming into IFR. So maybe we'll just listen to Murali, and then we'll come back to see what else can help us to take a bunch of people to start using IFR in an easy and comfortable way.
Murali, quickly, we've said IFR like 5-6 times now. What is ideal final result?
Ideal final result, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful ways to break psychological inertia, which is something that comes in the way of you actually being able to innovate or come out with ideas for a specific problem. Shankar mentioned about constraints and something that gets in the way of actually us thinking. In my opinion, IFR is a great tool for forcing you to think backwards in time. So when you think backwards in time, you have to be a realist, and you will be able to address the constraints that is being put to the innovation need itself. And it's very, very common in corporate settings that everybody who's trying to build something with a forward-looking statement like a vision or a mission will be able to build a grandiose picture going forward in time. But IFR forces you to think backward. And when you force yourself thinking backward, there is no possibility that you can lie beyond two steps. And that is the power of IFR. So in a way, this is as close as you can get to real solutions to problems that you have, starting from the ideal solution that you're looking to.
One comment that I heard from you really once upon a time is you. It's just impossible to lie when you're tracking backwards in time. So IFR actually magically transports you to that land where the problem is already solved. There are no. It's a free land and it's has no harm, so to speak, and only benefits. So it's that. I can even go and call it Wonderland, where there are only benefits. So IFR is sort of a place where the problem is already solved, and all you have to do is, so what was that before that? What was there before that? And it's absolutely fascinating that when you go backward in time like that, it's impossible to lie. And this you said, psychologists actually proved that beyond doubt.
Right. Sure. Hey, just in terms of really introducing IFR to a bunch of people who haven't heard about it before and quickly make them use the tool, I found one thing little helpful. That was typically in most crowds that I've worked with, actually, at least I could find a few people in the audience who are familiar with Scamper. So within Scamper, if you take the M, which is maximize or minimize, I found it easy to start with that. What is it you'd like to maximize? What is it that you'd like to minimize the current solution that you're looking for? So that they're a little open to start thinking in terms of what ideally they'd like to maximize or minimize. Once I capture that, then I kind of slowly introduce the IFR, which is even more ideal, which is looking even more farther than what you're talking about, local maximization and minimization, the real ideal solution, and then take them in two steps. Rather than directly taking them to IFR, I just ask them to look at what they would like to maximize or minimize in a Scamper tool usage, and then from there take them to this IFR concept. That was one thing that helped me. And the second thing is, as long as we are talking about the maximizing the benefits and minimizing the harmful things, they are okay. But the moment you talk about minimizing the cost and making it zero cost and stuff like that, suddenly they hit a major barrier. They are unable to really think, both technically and also in terms of a business model or anything. They find it very, very difficult. Everything comes to a standstill the moment you bring the concept of a zero cost solution. So these are the two things I'm still trying to figure out an easy way to handle.
I think that is the basic reason when Isaac Buckman actually said that IFR, there is nothing ideal or final about it. it's basically from this reason that when you push it to the limit of the minimum thing, the popular definition that people have for IFR is free, perfect, now. On the solution, on the idea, on the innovation, on a solution that you're giving to a specific need, etc. That is where it breaks down as a facilitation itself. The other way which has worked really well for us is using metaphors. When Bala looked at defining IFR, he used this metaphor called Wonderland. I mean, Wonderland is a better metaphor than actually saying it as an ideal final result. Result, in turn means that it's a result of a process, and then process always goes forward in time, and then it stands against it. But when you actually introduce a metaphor like a Wonderland or a heaven, for example, which is all very popular metaphors that people use for the ideal final result, it makes it a little bit more easier for people to absorb that concept and work backwards.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe an example of ideal final result from each of you guys, maybe. The one that immediately comes to my mind is Altshuler in his video talks about this coolant leakage. So the traditional way of solving it would be, okay, where is the coolant leaking? Can I go ahead and do something about it and all that stuff? So he says, wait, you're going in all sorts of directions. We need to actually have that one direction and then come backwards. So he's saying, what if this coolant was Cinderella? Interestingly, it pushes that, I don't know, Alice, Cinderella, lots of fairy tales. So he says, what if Cinderella shouts out saying, here I am, come and pick me up, or whatever. So he says, okay, but how do you make Cinderella stand out in a crowd of people? Well, turn off the lights such that only Cinderella shows up. And then the student hits on the hits upon the idea that yes, that is the ideal solution, which means that make the coolant color emitting one, and you just turn off the light, and that color emitting actually shows where the coolant leakage is. So you sort of worked your way backwards into getting that solution.
Sure. So it's like an ideal coolant should show up itself.
Yes.
When it's leaking. Fine.
Yeah.
Or the ideal way to leak. Basically, it's easy to detect. So, yeah. Yep.
The example that I would want to go with is on the free side, because whatever were like very priced commodities even a couple of years ago, or if you take the time scale of say 10 years or a decade, then say for example air travel being a very costly mode of transport, is it possible for us to actually find free modes of transport from point A to point B? And there are ways to do this, and the examples that will be available in the marketplace even right now is marketing campaigns that will actually let you go free from place A to place B if you're part of any campaign, or if you're part of a transporting agency itself, or you are part of a group that is traveling together, and you are say writing a travelogue, for example. There are so many social sponsorships available that the entire thing is available to you for free.
Mm.
And that's, in my opinion, is a perfect way to have fun for free, and it is available now.
Mm. Yeah, sure. I want to add one point here. See, as long as we are talking about, say, flying from point A to point B, you ask how can you fly with all benefits, minimum harm at and minimum cost. Again, you are stuck within that zone of flying from A to B. But moment you ask, why am I flying from A to B? What is it that I want to do at B because of which I am flying? So once you do that, then you figure out that there is a particular reason why you want to fly to B.
Mm.
Then you also started looking at what else I can do. Instead of really going there, can I just have a video conference or something and do it rather than flying all the way from A to B? So if you combine IFR and a 5Y, then ideally we'll be able to address a much more fundamental problem, and that will lead to a stronger solution. So instead of a standalone IFR, if you can really ask why 5 times, figure out the most fundamental problem that you want to address, and then apply IFR, then that combination would be even more powerful.
Very interesting. Okay.
Because we'll be able to think beyond flying from A to B and look at other things from other domains which could achieve the same purpose.
Actually, it is said that during that financial meltdown, when people were slashing travel and everything, Cisco made a lot of money because they had to put in money on telepresence, which is actually a different domain, different... It's nothing to do with the airline industry.
True. Basically, this combination of 5Ys and IFR would reveal a lot of... competitors outside the domain who could potentially be disruptive for you in future.
Mm.
So that aspect also will come up when you try doing this two things together.
That is true. I've seen some alternate uses of IFR as well. I mean, in visioning primarily. If today my team is doing A, B, and C activities, what should be my vision in say 2014? I've actually asked them, okay, who are your customers and what is their IFR look like, or customers, even better, what does their IFR look like? And then can you work your way backwards for your customer, and see what they should be, what their roadmap should be, and then work your way to customers and then see their roadmap. And now things become a lot clearer on what you should do and where you should be going. This I found it to be very useful in visioning for teams, particularly because they know they do very well whatever they're trying to do right now, but where will they be in a few years?
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I have never thought of it before. Maybe I could try using it. Sure.
And the Bala, when you mentioned customer, or a supplier, or somebody who is party to your business, like an investor or a stakeholder, each one's IFR is different. And what if a couple of those IFRs are actually contradicting or going in two different directions? Like, say I'm a service provider, I want to increase my revenue, but my customer wants to reduce cost. So if he reduces cost, then my revenue is going down. So the ideality for both of us is in contradiction. So how do you handle such things? And, you know, together, it becomes the cliched win-win for both you and your customer. So how does IFR handle this?
Normal way to look at it would be, I mean, the traditional way of solving it would be, if my revenue is going to be hit because my customer is giving away stuff for free, let's see if I can work an in-between solution. But Tris clearly says that, you know, the customer, if he's giving things away for free, should still sustain that, and I should still get my revenue, and the end is the most important part. So, well, IFR may individually may not be able to help here. Maybe in combination with contradiction, that arises because of this, and we introduce a principle to solve that is one way to do it. Take an IFR. In fact, it is very important to find out what my customer wants in terms of IFR, and what do I really want in terms of IFR. And in fact, the most powerful solutions come in when they contradict.
I think this is going to be the reality. When we do IFR for multiple stakeholders, I'm sure there is going to be a clash. And the contradiction that arises out of that will be the first thing for us to get started on applying the TRIS tools. So I think this will definitely happen, and TRIS is prepared to handle that.
That is true. So these are, it will give you problem statements for, you know, taking up in this, in the solve stage, in the solution stage. So IFR is an excellent way to get that out. Another thought that came to me when you were saying combining it with 5Ys, found out that there's another interesting place where the IFR can fit in is also the tool called 9Windows. Nine Windows is essentially a spread in space and time of my system. So system no longer is just a system. Like say, in front of me is a mouse. Mouse is just the system, but the stuff around it is the super system. So there's a phone, there's a laptop, there's a keyboard, there's a screen. So all this actually form the super system around it. And now subsystem in terms of space is the components inside a mouse, the driver, software driver, the hardware wheel, the all the components that make up a mouse. In fact, even the plastic that goes into making the mouse. So that's the subsystem. So what was it, all these things in back in time, how were they? And going forward, how will they look like? So a touchpad is probably the next version of a mouse. So in combination with IFR, each of these dimensions actually is an IFR if you think about it. So my system actually evolves from what used to be just a trackball to a mouse to trackpad to touchscreen. Is actually following a certain IFR. I mean, steps in an, leading to an IFR, which is
true.
And if you take the super system component, it's also evolving towards an IFR.
Absolutely. See, the past and the present, it's easy. You have data, but when it comes to the future, the only way you can predict it will be through IFR exercise. So that's true.
So that is something that I found very useful in when you combine some of these tools that seem to be readily fitting in, like the 5Ys. I liked it, and 9Windows now. Murli, I remember you some days ago you described about we are talking about the positive stuff, which is the ideal final result. You were even talking about the other end of the spectrum, which is the worst final result. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so, when you have a metaphor applied to IFR, like a heaven, there is also a hell always. So the easier way to look at this is, it's maximizing, the utility or potential that is available in the current system. So you could also do the same thing for the harmful effects. And what it does is basically it makes your system more robust to changes that could adversely affect the system's behavior itself. And worst final result, which is the exact opposite of an ideal final result, will force you to think on those lines, actually. So that's what is the suggestion here.
Sure. I remember using a tool like that at GE, that innovative problem solving module. One tool, for example, you take a pen. How do you design a pen that doesn't write? Then a whole bunch of ideas, and then reverse all those ideas to see how I can come up with a better pen. So some of this, yeah, surely it helps you to get out of those constrained thinking and start thinking fresh. Yeah.
Interesting.
One issue that I have always had with applying IFRs in group settings is that it's very difficult for people to think of completely ideal future, but not actually have any events or accidents or any turning points from now to that end future. And they actually build up, backwards. I mean, they are being very realistic in building that. But there is no room in IFR where you could actually insert, something like an accident. For example, publishing industry, if you look at it, internet was an accident for the publishing industry.
Mm.
But if you were to predict about everybody being able to publish as self-publish as an ideal final result probably in the 1960s, the internet accident happened somewhere in the 80s. And that completely changed it. And when we are building the IFR itself, there is no scope for us to introduce, such an accident, however real it is. So that puts a sort of, constraint into people's thinking itself, because they are looking for stuff that will radically change the way in which they are doing things. Internet happens to be one of that. There are multiple examples like that, like electricity or, there are more fundamental innovations like that which will change the course of certain technology or the need, human need itself. So that I am feeling it's sort of insufficient in IFR. I don't know if you have had any such similar experiences.
Sorry, Shankar.
Accident is basically an enabler that makes it happen. But if you really think, what would be an ideal book like, and what would be the ideal condition for an author, what would be the ideal condition for the reader? For example, for an author, if I'm an author, I would like to be able to write a book. The moment I think of writing a book, I should be able to write it and make it accessible to everybody in the world. As a reader, whatever things I'm looking for, I should be able to find immediately and access it and read it at no cost or at a very nominal cost. Like that, if you look at the ideal situation for each of these things around a book, maybe the situation that is being enabled by internet comes out, but we don't know at that stage what really will enable that. This happens that after some time the internet revolution came in and really made that happen. So the IFR thing would still capture. If you do IFR very religiously, you will still end up in the same situation where anybody can publish, anybody can access and stuff like that, but you'll be zapped to how to really make that happen with the current kind of technology. So that's why it again goes back to that entire IFR is an implementation-free visualization of how ideally the thing should be like. So which is easier said than done, that's where the real catch is.
Actually, you're right. I mean, luckily, internet got invented and this happened. Well, one example I can think of is George Lucas, who's the director of the Star Wars series. Apparently, in the 70s, was way ahead of his time. So you can call him intermediate IFR guy, thinking far ahead in time. Actually had trouble putting things in place. So far ahead of his time in terms of sound effects that he wanted, the graphics that he wanted, all that in the 70s wasn't just available. But he still went ahead and did something to fix it up. And the visuals are okay at the time. But when the internet, the graphic stuff matured, he said, now I have to remaster it so that I can... Okay, start. Sorry.
Okay. So the easiest way to get comfortable using IFR is to just pick up something common around us which we use day in and day out, and then get into a mode of thinking ideal version of this, how it would be like, rather than directly jumping into using IFR for a highly technical thing in your own project.
Okay.
So once you do this a few times for things around you, you'll become a lot more comfortable in getting into that mode, because it needs a particular mode of thinking to really do IFR very effectively. So if you do it for a few times around common stuff that all of us can relate to, and you discuss this with people around you, then you become a lot more comfortable. That's when you can really start applying the IFR to something little more technical and deep in your own project. So that would be my suggestion in terms of making sure that we are comfortable thinking in the IFR mode.
Okay. Murli, what's your suggestion?
I'll go with, Daryl Mann's suggestion that to make any, function ideal, add the word self as a prefix to that.
Yep.
And then, you could basically make it ideal. And, you do that for your own personal life. You will end up automating a lot of stuff. And then that will free up a lot of space for you. And that's when you start thinking about IFRs.
Okay. My suggestion is, take up a problem that you really care about, and then apply it, and then see the results for yourself. That's when permanent change happens. That's been my experience. So we have three different opinions. One is, take up common objects, and then see how their IFR looks like. Discuss it with someone that has applied IFR. You get comfortable with the tool and then apply it in your own project, in your own problem that you're working on. The second one is self healing, self coding, self forming. So those could be another one. And third one is take some problem that you're really worried about, apply IFR, see it working, and change is permanent. Okay, it's been a great 30 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Shankar and Murli, for being on this. Hopefully, we'll have a similar kind of interesting sessions in the future as well.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bala. We thoroughly enjoyed this interaction. Good.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye. Let's keep the podcast going.
Bye.